Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like you to take a moment to think about a drawing or a painting that you have seen that portrays Christ's crucifixion. If the author based his or her rendering of Calvary on the biblical account, you would see three crosses in the picture. Although there were three crosses, most likely one cross would be more prominent than the others. And the cross of Christ would be in the center of the picture. And the crosses on which the two thieves were crucified on often appear smaller or in the background or both. Of the three crosses, of course, the one in the middle is most important. On the cross in the middle, God sacrificed his own son for the sins of the world. Our reading this morning from Luke's Gospel tells the story behind the three crosses of Calvary. There's a message in each one of these crosses. The cross in the middle tells us what Christ did for us. The cross in the middle is the cross of redemption. But the one on the right and the one on the left also have a message. One is a cross of rejection, and the other is a cross of repentance. In the centuries since Jesus' suffering and death, the cross has become a symbol for all that he has accomplished. When we look at the cross, we see the payment for our sins, the full price for our redemption. Although all of Scripture is a witness to how Christ redeemed us, these verses from Luke's Gospel give us the message more precisely. Through the words of Jesus' enemies, through the words of those crucified with Jesus, and through Jesus' own words, we are reminded of the facts concerning the one who died on the cross in the middle. Luke tells us, "And the people stood by watching, but the ruler scoffed at him, saying, 'He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one.' With hatred in their hearts and sarcasm on their lips, the rulers of the people hurled insulting words at Jesus. Although they questioned who he was, Jesus had proven who he was many times. He was the Christ of God, the chosen one. In fact, that Jesus was the Christ, the chosen one, made his cross the cross of redemption. In eternity, God chose his son to bring salvation to mankind. God planned to let his anger at sin and all the consequences of sin fall on Jesus. In the revelation that Jesus gave to John, he saw that Jesus is the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. And in Paul's letter to the Colossians, Paul describes the cross of redemption in this way: "For God was planned to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Jesus' cross is a cross of redemption because God balanced the books of his justice on it. He accepted the blood of his son in the place of the blood of us sinners. In Galatians, Paul writes, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us." And Peter adds this thought: "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." As we stand at the foot of the three crosses, the message of the one in the middle quickly becomes obvious. It is the cross of redemption. The innocent Son of God is paying the price for the sins of the world. Jesus lived under the commandments of God in our place without ever sinning. As we look at the three crosses on Calvary, The message of the cross in the middle tells us that we have been redeemed. We have been brought back, as 1 Peter 1:18, 20 reminds us. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. The cross in the middle, indeed, is a cross of redemption. But not everyone saw the cross of Christ as a cross of redemption. There was those who saw it as a deserved destination for a troublemaker. Some saw it as the appropriate place for an impostor to die. And others saw that what they thought was a hopeless king, or a helpless king, dying a hopeless death. The words that came from one of the three crosses on Calvary summarize all those who rejected Jesus. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." This cross serves as a warning. It's the cross of rejection. The thief on the cross of rejection listened to the crowd. He heard the ruler shout, "He saved others, let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." If the experts on religious matters rejected Jesus as an unfit Messiah, then why not join in and ridicule him as well? Or perhaps the criminal on the cross of rejection also listened to the soldiers who said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." Those Roman soldiers were pointing out the obvious. How can Jesus be the king of the Jews or king of anything if he couldn't save himself from the cross? The man also rejects Jesus because Jesus wasn't doing anything to save himself. And perhaps more importantly to the man, he wasn't doing anything to save the man on the cross of rejection. So there is a warning in the cross of rejection. And in fact, the world is still rejecting Jesus. The world has turned its back on Jesus, and therefore on the church as well. And by doing so, they have nothing left to guide them other than themselves and a sinful, fallen world. By turning their back to Jesus and the church, they're no longer hearing the truth of God's word. And without God's word, how can one know God? And without knowing God through his word, how can one understand the cross of redemption? And without knowing God through his word, they are not standing at the foot of the cross of redemption, are they? No, rather they are standing at the foot of the cross of rejection. It's by hearing God's word speak to our hearts on a regular basis that we come to stand at the cross of redemption. Let the cross of rejection serve as a warning to us as well. Let us hear and read and study God's word on a regular basis so that we will see Jesus and his cross as the cross of redemption. After seeing the cross of redemption and the cross of rejection, we turn our attention to the third cross. Luke writes, "But the other criminal rebuked him. 'Don't you fear God,' he said, 'since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.'" The third cross is a cross of repentance. So what can we take to heart as we see the thief on the cross of repentance? Well, we see someone who throws himself completely on the grace and mercy of God in Jesus Christ. It's God's grace alone that overcame our natural unbelief. is God's power alone that enables us to believe all the things that seem so unbelievable about Jesus. The Holy Spirit led us to the conclusion that the only way of salvation is the way of the cross of redemption. To the man on the cross of repentance, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." How awesome those words must have sounded. His past was forgiven. His past was forgotten. Soon the cross on which the thief would bring death, which the thief hung on, would bring death to his body, but the cross on which Christ hung would bring life to the thief's soul. We all must stand at the cross of repentance. It's where things are made right between us and God. The third cross, the cross of repentance, shows the way to the cross in the middle. It's the cross of repentance that convicts us of our sins and connects us to Jesus' cross of redemption. So there are three crosses on Calvary and three stories to be told. One cross, the cross of redemption, holds a man dying for sin. The second cross, the cross of rejection, holds a man dying in sin. And the third cross of repentance, holds a man dying to sin. Amen.